The Mostly Gay Not Couple Verse by Your Fairy Godfather, read by Green Iron. Kurt and Brittany are really, really not dating. Most of the time, they remember this. A Kurt-Brittany friendship series with some additional Blaine in the final two stories.
Though I was moving, she was right there within, and she was. Though I was moving, she was floating above it, and she was. And she was.
Amicable Exes, a Glee fanfic by Your Fairy Godfather.
Hey, Kurt. That song was hot.
Oh, mercy.
So you're pretty much the only guy in this school that I haven't made out with because I thought you were a capital G gay. But now that you're not, having a perfect record would mean a lot to me. So, let me know if you want to tap this.
Hey, Sam, it's Brittany. Call me back. I need help in my history paper. Love you. Brittany snapped her phone shut and looked back at the assignment sheet. She was supposed to be writing a 1,000-word essay on the war of her choice, like anyone would choose a war, and she was having some trouble. She thought she had a good topic at first, but none of her mom's gardening magazines said anything at all about the War of the Roses. Maybe they were too old? So instead, she decided to write about World War II, because it sounded like it probably had something to do with pirates, so Santana and Puck would probably know about it and could help her. Plus, she'd seen the pirate movies with Johnny Depp in them, and he was super hot. Maybe he was a war hero, too. That would be way awesome. Deciding she couldn't do any more schoolwork until somebody called her back, Brittany sat down on the floor and started stretching. Might as well get some dance practice in while she was waiting. After only a minute, though, somebody was knocking on the front door, which was weird because nobody ever came over without calling first except Santana, and Santana didn't knock, she just climbed in the window. Maybe it was a package. With that thought in mind, Brittany scampered to the front door and threw it open. It was a package! Kurt Hummel was standing on her doorstep holding a box. Brittany didn't know he worked for the post office, but maybe he didn't tell anyone because he was embarrassed and didn't want them to know. He'd obviously put a lot of work into trying to hide it. He was even driving his own car instead of the mail truck and wearing his own clothes. Brittany smiled sweetly at him. He didn't have to worry. His secret was safe with her. "Hey, Kurt," she said, making an effort to sound normal. "Want to come in?" Wow. Maybe Kurt was sick or something. He looked kind of like he was going to barf. He must be more worried about his secret job than she had thought. Maybe she should say something after all just to make him feel better. Before she could think of something to say, though, he spoke first. "Thanks, Britt, but I was just stopping by to bring you a present." A present? Brittany loved presents. But she looked at the mailbox. There weren't any balloons tied to it. So it probably wasn't her birthday. But Kurt might not know that. Unless... maybe it was a surprise party and only she and Kurt knew about it. That was exciting. "Should I get birthday candles?" she asked. He looked really confused. Maybe he didn't know about the party either. "No, that's all right," he reassured her. "Coach Sylvester would flip out if we had cake. Just a present." He handed her the box and followed her inside, sitting next to her on the stairs as she pulled off the lid. Inside was a picture frame with a piece of paper in it instead of a picture. The paper was covered in lipstick kisses. "I did those myself," Kurt told her, and read, "Congratulations on your perfect record, Brittany," in big letters. "That's so sweet." "You remembered," Brittany gushed, and kissed him smack on the lips. Maybe Kurt was, like, sick, not just worried sick. His face was turning a weird color that Brittany was pretty sure was not normal. "Brittany? Sweetheart? We need to talk," Kurt stammered. Brittany smiled. He was really cute when he stammered. "Brittany, I don't know if I can be your boyfriend anymore." "It's not that I don't like you," he said quickly, raising a hand to stop her as she opened her mouth. "It's just that, well, you're a girl. And I know that you're into both boys and girls, but I'm pretty sure I'm just into boys. You're really pretty and sweet, and you have fabulous skin, but I just can't do it. Date a girl, I mean. I'm sorry. Kurt let out a huge breath. Maybe he needed an inhaler. Brittany's little sister, Megan, used one sometimes in the spring or during soccer practice. Maybe Kurt could borrow it. His breathing was getting kind of funny. Brittany? Are you listening? He was asking. Not really. Sometimes she forgot to pay attention. Kurt dropped his head into his hands and sighed. Do you want a back rub? She asked. Sometimes when her mom was stressed out, she would sigh like that, and Brittany would give her a back rub to make her feel better. Then they would watch a movie and eat ice cream after putting Megan to bed. But Megan wasn't home, and Kurt didn't eat ice cream, so Brittany thought maybe just the back rub part would be good. Or maybe not, because Kurt was giving her the same look that Santana gave her sometimes when she said something that Santana didn't get. That's very sweet of you, Brittany, he said, saying each word very slowly. But you don't have to be so nice to me. This is me breaking up with you. You can be mad at me if you want to. Now, Brittany was the one who didn't really understand. Why would she be mad? Santana had sat her down at lunch and explained that Kurt probably wouldn't want to date her anymore because he was back to being super gay. Brittany didn't know what made someone switch back and forth between being gay and being not gay, but Santa told her not to worry about it, so she didn't. Kurt was still looking like he was going to puke, and he'd puked before at school that one time, so she figured she'd better say something before he ruined the carpet. I'm not mad, she promised, and suddenly Kurt looked so much better. Cool. Maybe she should be a doctor or something when she grew up. Except, you might be mad at me, though. Kurt looked like he didn't get it, so she explained gently. I didn't know we were getting each other breakup presents, so I didn't get you anything yet. Kurt's smile was really nice. Even though she was a little sad about the present thing, it made her smile too. Don't worry about that, he told her, reaching back into the box and pulling out another piece of paper. I got presents for both of us. He held out the paper to her and she read it out loud. This card is good for one his and her facial. He took her hand in his really soft one. I made an appointment at the day spa for 4 o'clock if you want to go today. Brittany grinned. Kurt was the best super gay not boyfriend ever. Can we get our nails done too? She asked hopefully. Kurt smiled at her indulgently. Of course. My nail beds are looking a bit untamed anyway, he said, examining his fingers. Brittany scribbled out a note for her mom. Boyfriend broke up with me. We're at the spa. Home for dinner. Before following Kurt out the door. He was so nice. And really smart. Speaking of which. Hey, Kurt. Do you know anything about pirate wars? Platonic Domesticity. A Glee fanfic, sequel to Amicable Exes.
Your hands are really soft.
My secret? Duck fat.
Hey guys, just holding hands with Brittany.
Seriously, they feel like a baby. Now I know what it's like to date a baby.
Brittany wiped a drop of sweat from her forehead, being extra careful not to drop the box she was carrying. It hadn't been that heavy when she had first started off, but the walk from her house to Kurt's garage was almost a mile, and she'd almost gotten lost a few times. Plus, the box was pretty big. It used to hold their microwave, so it was kind of difficult and awkward to hang on to. But she was finally here, and the long walk was worth it. Kurt was going to be so, so surprised. She could hardly wait to see the look on his face. It was going to be awesome. Smiling happily, she made her way up the gravel driveway to the huge open doors of the garage. Peering around the garage for Kurt, she was distracted by all the machinery. There were cars and power tools and even some big orange hats. Brittany grinned when she saw the hats. She knew how much Kurt loved fashion. Maybe his dad was letting him make and sell some of his own designs here. And maybe if he made enough money, he could quit his post office job. Kurt never talked about it, and Brittany didn't want to bring it up and embarrass him. But she was sure that Kurt secretly hated his secret job. Brittany put the box down at her feet and picked up a hat. Trying it on, she shook her head from side to side. It was a little heavier than she was used to. But Kurt was super fashionable and probably knew what he was doing. And even if it did smell a little like gasoline, she would be a supportive, somewhat gay, not girlfriend, and not mention it. Besides, she could always put it in the washing machine when she got home. Brittany was reaching into her purse for her cell phone to call Kurt when she heard a cough. Looking around, she spotted a pair of legs sticking out from underneath the car. She frowned, puzzled. Why would someone leave their legs just lying there, where someone could come along and step on them by mistake? Her face lit up. She could be helpful and move them out of the way. That way, nobody would trip over them and get hurt. Grabbing hold of the shoes, Brittany pulled as hard as she could. Unfortunately, pulling as hard as she could was a little too hard. And as it turned out, the legs were still attached to a person who was lying on some sort of skateboard made for a person's back instead of the feet. Brittany gasped in horror as the force of her pull on the shoes sent legs, person, and skateboard careening into the wall. "Mr. Hummel, are you okay?" He moaned, and she grabbed his hand to help him stand up. "Where's your helmet?" she asked, using her best mom voice. Mr. Hummel gave her a weird look. "My, what the hell did you think I was doing under there?" he asked, rubbing his head. Brittany could tell by the tone of his voice that A, he was annoyed with her, and B, that skateboarding on his back was not the right answer. But why else would he be under a car on a skateboard with his legs sticking out? Unless Brittany had watched The Wizard of Oz on TV last weekend. Maybe Mr. Hummel was practicing for the part of the witch that got crushed by the house. It made much more sense for him to be practicing with a car instead of a real house. He had lots of cars here, but the only house he owned had a basement. She had thought that the witch was supposed to be a girl, but if Kurt could sing girls' songs all the time, why couldn't his dad play a girl part too? It probably ran in the family. Brittany didn't get a chance to congratulate him on getting the part, though, because Mr. Hummel was shaking his head. "You know what? I don't want to know," he said, eyeing Brittany's new hat warily. "Kurt! Brittany's here!" Kurt stuck his head out from inside the office. "Hey, Britt," he called out, before giving her a funny look. "Sweetheart," he said slowly, "why are you wearing a traffic cone on your head?" Brittany beamed at him. "I'm a customer," she said brightly. "How much is the hat?" Brittany hadn't known that Kurt and his dad were telepathic, but they must have learned it somewhere, because after staring at each other for a minute, Mr. Hummel clapped Brittany on the shoulder. "We actually weren't planning on selling them yet," he explained, "but you can have one for free if you promised not to wear it outside your house." Brittany nodded, eyes wide. She could do that. She wouldn't want anyone to steal Kurt's design, after all. Remembering her manners, she thanked them both politely. "I have a present for you, too, to make up for last week. I even made a card." She opened her purse and rummaged through it until she found the pink construction paper. She handed the folded, glittery paper to Kurt, who read it out loud. "Happy breakup, Kurt. Sorry this card is so late. I forgot to write down the day on my calendar ahead of time. Have fun sleeping with men. Super love, Brittany." Wow. The Hummels must have really liked her card. They were smiling so hard they were shaking, and Mr. Hummel's face was turning red from grinning so widely. Kurt cleared his throat. "That's really nice of you, Brittany. Did you do the whole thing yourself?" Brittany nodded proudly. "And I picked out your gift, too, without any help from Santa." As soon as she spoke, she inhaled sharply, smile faltering as she realized her mistake. She wasn't supposed to tell anyone about Santa. Every time a Christmas or birthday or something was coming up, Santa would leave a note in her locker or under her pillow, telling her what to buy and where she could find it. She was really glad because picking out presents for people was actually really hard. But he reminded her in every note not to tell anyone but Santana that he was her pen pal. He didn't have time to write to everyone, and people might get jealous if they knew he was helping her. Brittany was happy to keep his secret and would sometimes leave him cookies in her locker as a thank you. She wasn't sure how Santa had gotten her locker combination, but she suspected that the Tooth Fairy was helping him out with the notes under her pillow. The Tooth Fairy would probably find the cookies insulting, though, so Brittany just flossed a lot more often instead. Luckily for her and Santa, Kurt and Mr. Hummel didn't seem to notice her accidental slip. They were speaking in telepathic again. Brittany didn't speak telepathic, but she didn't want to interrupt. Interrupting was rude. So she did the same thing she did when Mr. Shu was teaching Spanish class, or when Tina talked in Asian over the phone with her parents. Smiled politely and waited for it to be over. And it only took another second or two before Kurt turned back to her, a kind of weird-looking smile on his face. "Okay," he exhaled. "Can I open it?" Brittany nodded and carried the box over to him. "Sorry I didn't wrap it," she apologized, placing it on the ground in front of him. "I was going to try, but I didn't want to block the air holes." Brittany marveled at Kurt's face as it went from normal to really, really white in about 4 seconds. Wow, he had to teach her how to do that. "Air holes?" he stammered. He looked kind of upset. Brittany didn't mean to upset him. She wanted to make him happy. Since it didn't look like he was going to open the box, she knelt down and did it for him, explaining kindly, "I didn't want him to die. Cracker, meet Kurt." Cracker looked up at them from inside the box and tilted his head to the side. It worked. Kurt wasn't frowning anymore. Instead, he was laughing harder than Brittany had ever seen him laugh before. Grinning back, she let him clutch her arm to keep from falling over as he practically choked himself laughing. Cracker seemed happy, too. He was waddling in place and flapping his wings a little, looking up at them. Mr. Hummel looked way confused, looking back and forth between Kurt and Brittany and down at Cracker like he didn't quite understand what was happening. Kurt was still laughing too hard to speak, so Brittany supplied helpfully. "Kurt said he used duck fat to make his hands so soft, and Cracker was the fattest duck I could find. I don't know what to do next, though." She looked at Mr. Hummel. "I must have misread the directions," she whispered to him. Getting sick really quickly must run in Kurt's family, too, because Mr. Hummel was pinching the bridge of his nose just like Puck's mom did whenever she got a headache, which seemed to happen nearly every time Brittany saw her. Your duck came with instructions," Mr. Hummel stated flatly. Brittany's eyes widened. "Did he?" She had just said that because that's what her mom always said every time the two of them screwed up a recipe or messed up another home improvement project. But what if the duck did come with directions, and she had lost them without meaning to? She was always losing things. Her wheelchair, her homework. Santana often said that Brittany had lost her marbles, but she was pretty sure she hadn't seen the marbles in the first place. Unless she lost the memory of seeing and losing the marbles, too. She really was stupid. Her lip quivered. "I'm sorry, Kurt. I didn't mean to," she said in a very small voice. Kurt had finally stopped laughing, but he was still smiling at her. "It's okay, Brittany. Don't worry about it," he said, patting her shoulder. And even though Brittany still felt a little bad, Kurt's voice reassured her a bit anyway. "I have a great idea," he told her. "There's a pond behind my house. Why don't we take Cracker there and he can live there and be our pet? We can feed him and watch him swim, and who knows? Maybe he'll find a nice girl duck to play with and they can have ducklings." Brittany felt all the way better now. "Or a boy duck," she suggested. Kurt had the greatest smile. "Or a boy duck," he agreed. He turned to Mr. Hummel. "Dad, is it okay if I take off a little early so we can go get Cracker settled?" Mr. Hummel was nursing his headache again. Brittany made a mental note to get him her misogynist phone number, but he nodded anyway. "Fine by me," he said. Brittany carefully closed the box and followed Kurt to the office where he picked up his coat and car keys. "So how did Cracker get his name?" he asked as they crunched their way across the driveway to Kurt's car. Brittany climbed carefully into the passenger seat, trying not to move Cracker too much as she buckled her seatbelt. "My sister was singing Old MacDonald Had a Farm," she told him, "and on the farm he had a duck, and it was named Crack, like this, with a crack crack here and a crack crack there. I didn't want to give him the exact same name. I thought it might confuse him too much." She paused. "Do you think Mr. Shu will let us sing that song?" Kurt shook his head. "I don't know. You could always ask." Brittany nodded, settling back into her seat. She looked at Cracker's box. Maybe Santa would have thought of something better, but she thought she did a pretty good job getting her not-boyfriend a breakup present. It made him really happy. But maybe she should get Mr. Hummel a present, too. After all, he and Kurt had given her a hat, even after she'd accidentally rolled them into a wall. Yes, she decided she should definitely find him a gift. But she didn't really know much about him. Except he liked football and cars and Kurt. And that he was going to be in the Wizard of Oz. That was it. Hey, Kurt. What size shoe does your dad wear? Brittany was going to get the best sparkly red shoes ever for him to practice in. The end. Cordial Affections by Your Fairy Godfather. She really had to figure out how Kurt made his skin so pale in less than 2 seconds. It was a really awesome trick. Kurt would make Brittany's bad day better in a heartbeat. If only he could figure out what on earth she's talking about. Brittany was having a really bad day. It had started in Spanish class. Mr. Shu had returned the pop quizzes he had given the class 2 days ago, and Brittany had gotten a "see me" on hers. She hadn't been sure if that was good or bad. Didn't you usually only get one letter for a grade? So she had gone up to ask him about it after class. He'd asked her where she'd learned all the words she had written on the paper, and she'd been forced to admit that she hadn't realized that soda or musicians were going to be on the quiz, or even that there was one. And that she had panicked and written down all the Spanish she could ever remember Santana muttering under her breath. Mr. Shu's super awkward explanation, the death threats and curse words, even ones as creative as Santana's, were not quite appropriate for a quiz on the conjugation of verbs in past tense, made her late for lunch. It probably didn't help that she took the time to point out the conjugation was totally on the cop show she'd watched on TV the night before, and it obviously had something to do with visiting people in prison, not verbs. By the time she made it through the lunch line, there were no cookies left, which was way lame because it was like the one day a week she didn't have to worry about Coach Sylvester lurking around the cafeteria with a pair of binoculars and a dart gun. On Fridays, she went to the shooting range to work out the aggravation of yet another week spent breathing the same air as my substandard colleagues. It's a tough existence, but a little ambient nitroglycerin in the lungs should nip any developing infections in the bud. Tina gave her half her cookie, which was nice of her, but Brittany was still kind of sad about it. Then, she had some trouble after school when she went to the grocery store. Brittany loved the grocery store, and not only because it was 2 blocks from her house and therefore really easy to find. She liked it because it was super colorful, and when she and her mom and sister went grocery shopping, she got to push the cart. Megan would sit in it, and they'd pretend it was a race car, and sometimes if they'd been really good, their mom would let them get mixed for chocolate cake. Plus, the grocery store was where they kept the fruit snacks. But when Brittany went to the pet food aisle to get something for Cracker to eat, there was a problem. For some reason, the store didn't sell any duck food. They had food for dogs, cats, fish, rabbits, and even for lizards, but nothing for ducks. In fact, the only duck-related thing in the whole aisle was bird seed. And Brittany didn't want to plant any birds, she just wanted to feed one. It wasn't until she was in the cookie aisle, looking to see if they had the same kind of chocolate chip cookies that they sold in the cafeteria, they didn't, that she found a solution. Animal crackers! Brittany thought it was kind of weird that they weren't with the rest of the pet foods. Unless, maybe Finn and Puck were working here too. Apparently they were really bad at stocking shelves. Brittany shrugged her shoulders and bought them anyway. Cracker was going to love them. They even had his name on the box. She had made it all the way to Kurt's backyard before she made the most unlucky discovery of the day. She couldn't feed the animal crackers to Cracker. All the crackers were tigers and elephants and lions, and Santana had told her that ducks didn't eat meat. There were a couple of broken pieces at the bottom of the box that didn't look like animals, but they might have been before getting crushed. She couldn't take that chance. It was a really, really bad day. Not even watching Cracker swim around, cracking, could make her feel better. Brit, oh, sweetheart, what's wrong? Without her noticing, Kurt had come out the back door and was halfway down to the pond. Hold it right there, he demanded gently as Brittany reached up to wipe her teary eyes. She was confused. But I'm not holding anything, she pointed out, and it was true. She had tossed the animal crackers aside in frustration as soon as she had discovered they weren't vegetarian. No, I meant leave your face alone, Kurt explained. I'll be right back. He turned and strode back into the house and came back out a minute later with a facial wipe. It's extra moisturizing, he told her, carefully dabbing at the smeary mascara under her eyes. Of course, if you'd listened to me at Sephora and bought waterproof eye makeup, you'd be fine right now, he chastised gently. Brittany sniffed, unhappy, and made a mental note to look up the moisturizing. She didn't think they had any in the garden at home, but maybe there were some at the florist. It smelled really pretty. Kurt studied her face. Much better, he decided. Now what's wrong? Did someone say something mean to you? Were people wearing polyester stretch pants with plaid shirts again? Give me some idea of the scale of emergency we're dealing with here. Brittany shook her head. No scales today, she reminded him. Weigh-in was on Wednesday. Kurt looked confused, which confused Brittany because Kurt was totally there at practice 2 days ago. But then she remembered that Kurt liked to mentally block out things that upset him. Like my weight, and my science grade, and parachute pants. She figured she'd better change the subject quickly before she accidentally made him remember, so she quickly began explaining all the bad things that had happened that day. It was a long list. And then I stubbed my toe on the sidewalk, and it hurt, and I almost dropped the animal crackers, but it wouldn't have mattered because he can't eat them anyway. And, she added dramatically, we can't eat them either because look! She pointed at the colorful illustration depicting circus animals on the front of the box. They're not cage-free! Eating cage-free was really important. Rachel said so. When she'd gotten eggs thrown at her by vocal adrenaline, Brittany had offered to help her cook them, since eggs were one thing she could make really well. Rachel had just sniffed and informed her that eating food off of another person's body was gross. Unless done in a sexually consenting manner, in which case it would only be permissible if both or multiple partners have showered recently and have compared food allergies, and that she didn't eat eggs anyway, being a practicing vegan. Brittany was stumped, because she thought Rachel was Jewish. She was going to ask when her next performance or recital was, because the practicing part was the only part of that sentence that really made any sense to her, but Rachel had cut her off before she had the chance. I realize that not everyone is as committed to their dietary health and prevention of animal cruelty as I am, she had said, but if you're going to continue the cycle of farmhouse indignity and slaughter, I do hope that you are only consuming grass-fed beef and cage-free eggs, at the very least. Brittany didn't know if she was or not, so she checked the egg cartons when she got home that day. It said cage-free in big letters on the top, so she figured that meant they were okay. But not only did it not say cage-free on the animal cracker box, they were so indignity that the cage was actually drawn on the label. While Brittany was thinking, Kurt had dropped his face into his hands and was sighing deeply. Okay, he said, and Brittany sat up straight. Her super gay not boyfriend always knew what to do. Here's what's going to happen. I have some bread in the kitchen, or rather, Dad, Carol, and Finn have some bread in the kitchen. I'm off carbs this week, he confided, and Brittany nodded. I'm sure they won't mind if we feed a couple of pieces to Cracker. Then we're going to cheer you up using my favorite method of consolation, retail therapy. Brittany shook her head so hard it made her brain feel wobbly. No, she stressed, I don't want to. She bit her lip, trying not to get too upset. She was only a little sad. She didn't need therapy. After Mr. Kinney, the janitor, had brought her bird to the front office, traitor, Ms. Pillsbury had come to her house while she was eating dinner. Her mom had sent the girls upstairs so they could talk privately. When Brittany came back down after putting Megan to bed, Ms. Pillsbury was gone and her mom was crying. And she didn't even stop when Brittany patted her hair and brought her a glass of milk and a plate of Oreos. Instead, she just hugged Brittany extra tight and told her she didn't need therapy, that she was wonderful and sweet and absolutely perfect the way she was. Brittany didn't know what therapy was or what was so awful about it, but there was no way she was getting any if it made her mom cry. Kurt looked shocked. You don't want to go shopping? He asked in a funny voice. Not even for shoes? We can make fun of everyone's awful taste in clothing, and I'll get you a cookie from the food court, he offered. Brittany thought about it for a minute. Shoes never made anyone upset, so they were probably okay. Maybe. Okay, she agreed warily, but Ms. Pillsbury can't come. Kurt's confused stare was seriously super cute. Brittany wondered if there were, like, models whose job it was to make confused faces. If there were, Kurt should definitely quit fashion design and the post office and be one of those instead. Okay, he said slowly. We won't invite her. No problem. Brittany smiled brightly. Okay, then. Can we get the bread for Cracker now? Kurt stood and held out his baby soft hand to help her up. Of course. After feeding Cracker and learning that wonder was the only feeling that got its own bread, Brittany and Kurt made their way over to Kurt's car. So first we'll try on shoes, Kurt decided. Then we can get a cookie for you and a latte for me before we start in on the public shaming. Bonton's having a sale. That should draw in the lemmings. Brittany nodded along contentedly. Can we get the same kind of cookie the cafeteria has? Kurt shuddered. Oh, honey, you don't want one of those, he promised. And Brittany frowned. She didn't. Mr. Shue let it slip that the cafeteria's been serving prison food for the past year and a half, he explained. Something about cut-rate suppliers. We'll get you something better. Brittany bit her lip. She really wanted a cafeteria cookie, even if it came from prison. But there was something she was forgetting. Prison. Food. Mr. Shue. That was it. Hey, Kurt, do you think if we go on a conjugate visit, the prisoners will share their cookies with us? She really had to figure out how Kurt made his skin so pale in less than 2 seconds. It was a really awesome trick. Friendly Rapport by Your Fairy Godfather.
I mean, bake sales are kind of bougie.
So hip people stopped eating delicious sugary treats?
It's not that. It's most of us don't know how to bake. I find recipes confusing.
Brittany was excited. No, scratch that. Brittany was super excited. It was finally Wednesday. During the school year, Wednesdays were kind of lame because Brittany had math tutoring before school, a weekly quiz in English class, and third period gym. Most of the sports teams didn't have to go to gym, but Coach Sylvester said that repeated physical beatings built character. So Brittany was forced to redo her sweaty makeup in science class twice a week. That was sort of all right, though, because every once in a while, she'd accidentally on purpose drop her eyeliner in some boiling tube they were supposed to be sciencing on, and the teachers would let the whole school hang out in the parking lot for 2 hours instead of going to class. Those were the best days. But this Wednesday was going to be even more awesome. It was summer, so she didn't have to go to school at all, and it was Kurt's day off from work. The two of them were going out to the mall to hunt fall fashions, and then stop for sushi on the way home. She wasn't sure how they were going to hunt without a gun, but Kurt was pretty sneaky, so she figured he had a plan, and he was the best person to go out for sushi with, because he knew which fish were from Mercury and which ones were safe to eat. Plus, Brittany's history teacher was always talking about how people used to hunt and fish like a billion years ago before they had cable. She was definitely going to tell him about the trip when school started again. She might even get an A for effort. Sitting on the steps in front of her house, Brittany happily tapped her shoes on the concrete and checked the time on her phone. Kurt was coming to get her at noon. It was 11:47. She knew she was early, but her mom always said to leave herself extra time to get somewhere in case there was traffic. As usual, there was a lot of traffic between her bedroom and the front porch. Megan's toy cars were everywhere, but she just stepped over them and kept walking. Kind of like Godzilla, but way prettier. Brittany's daydreams about being Godzilla didn't get very far. Her phone was ringing. Frowning slightly, she looked at the screen. Gay kid, this is not a booty call. I mean it, Britt. Brittany smiled. Every time Santana played with her phone, all of the Glee kids got renamed in her phone book. Sometimes she had trouble figuring out who was supposed to be who. Dumbass football player had her stumped for a week, but this one was easy. Hi, Kurt, she chirped brightly. Are you here yet? She didn't see him in the driveway, but he and his car could be hiding or something. There was a weird moan, the non-sexy kind on the phone. Hey, Britt, a rough-sounding voice answered back. Brittany stared at her phone, confused. Mr. Hummel, are you pretending to be Kurt, she quizzed. Because if you are, you're kind of doing a bad job. Sorry, she added as an afterthought. There was just no nice way to say that. The voice coughed. No, baby, it's Kurt, it said. I just have a really bad cold. He sniffed sadly. I'm really sorry, but I just woke up like this, and I think I'm too sick to go out today. I'm really sorry. Brittany nodded, then remembered he couldn't see her. It's okay, she answered out loud, trying not to make him feel more upset by sounding upset herself. It probably didn't work because Kurt sounded even worse. Are you sure? He was asking. Because maybe if I take some more cough syrup and sit in a steam bath for an hour, I could walk without swaying for a little while. No, Brittany insisted. We can go on Friday. It's okay. I don't want you to feel bad. And that's when Brittany had her super genius idea. Smiling widely, she stood up on the porch. I know exactly what you need to feel better, she gushed. I'll be over in a couple of hours. Wow! Kurt really was sick. Brittany could hear him choking even over the phone. Britt, sweetie, he managed to get out. We've been over this, remember? We're not make-out friends. We're friends who don't make out. Brittany shook her head. I know that, she promised. And anyway, Santana says not to hook up with people who have diseases. This is something better. See you soon! And ignoring Kurt's last sputtering protest, Brittany hung up and bounded back into the house. Whenever Brittany was sick, which wasn't very often ever since Coach Sylvester started injecting all her Cheerios with vitamins and Cyclofem every month, her mom would make her a big bowl of chicken noodle soup. Brittany didn't normally really like soup, especially the kind with letters. She had enough trouble reading without the words mixing themselves up every time she stirred. But something about getting special treatment when she felt tired and gross made her feel just a little bit better. And if it worked on her, maybe it would work on Kurt, too. And even though recipes were confusing, Brittany was pretty sure she could make a bowl of soup without screwing up. After all the ingredients were right in the name. All she needed was soup and some chicken noodles. After raiding the hall closet for her purple mittens, the cafeteria ladies never cooked without gloves, so it was probably a rule. Brittany opened the cabinet above the stove. The only kind of soup they had was tomato, but that was okay because vegetables were full of antioxidants, or whatever it was Rachel had said. Brittany popped the lid open. It took a few tries with the mittens and dumped the reddish liquid into a bowl. She smiled. Cooking was way easier than she thought. The chicken noodles were a little bit harder. There were 4 different kinds of noodles in the cabinet, but none of them were chicken. But maybe egg noodles would work. Chickens came from eggs, after all, and eggs came from chickens. That was really cool, even if she wasn't sure which one came first. Tuck had asked her once, saying it was a riddle, but Santana had decked him in the throat and pulled Brittany away before he could tell her the answer. Pulling open the box with her fuzzy purple thumb, Brittany shook a bunch of noodles into the bowl of soup and bit her lip. It didn't look like the soup her mom always gave her. But maybe it only looked wrong because it was still raw. Maybe if she cooked it, it would look better. Feeling happier, Brittany gently lifted the bowl into the microwave, being extra careful not to spill soup on her mittens. The soup was red, and she didn't want to turn her purple mittens blue by accident. Brittany scanned the side of the noodle box, looking for the number of minutes to cook it. There were a lot of directions, but finally she found it. 15 to 18 minutes. Triumphantly, Brittany closed the microwave door and punched 15:18 start. The microwave started whirring, and she could see Kurt's soup slowly turning on the spinny thing inside the microwave. Brittany beamed at it. Maybe she'd make Kurt a card while she waited for the soup. That would be a nice idea. Cooking was awesome. Cooking totally sucked. Brittany rang the doorbell at the Hummel's house, twirling a strand of wet, flowery hair around her finger. She washed it twice after putting out the fire and cleaning up the Bisquick she'd spilled all over the floor, but she still smelled like melted plastic and soggy pancakes. She was never cooking again. Mr. Hummel answered the door, which Brittany thought was kind of weird. It was only 2:00. "Hi, Brittany," he said, sounding a little tired. "Come on in." Brittany closed the door behind her, leaving her shoes on the mat. "Hi, Mr. Hummel," she answered. "Are you sick, too?" Kurt's dad shook his head. "Nah, just called in an early day in case Kurt needed me," he replied. "Anyway, the invalid's in the basement." Brittany nodded blankly. "Okay, is Kurt down there, too?" Maybe Mr. Hummel was sick after all. He sort of looked like he had a headache, and it took him a long time before he answered the question. "Yeah, he's down there, too," he said finally. Brittany nodded uneasily. If she had known Mr. Hummel wasn't feeling well either and that they had a guest over she didn't know, she probably would have waited to come over. Mr. Hummel was staring at her. "Brittany, is everything okay?" he asked awkwardly. You have something in your hair, and your face is a little red. Brittany reached toward her hair automatically. Her fingers came away with another bit of melted bowl. Oops. Brittany blinked a few times, thinking. She didn't want to tell Mr. Hummel that she ruined Kurt's soup in case it made him mad, but she wasn't a very good liar either. Well, she explained, slowly and vaguely, I got a little battered when I made a mess in the kitchen, but it was my fault. Well, it sort of worked. Mr. Hummel didn't look mad, but he did kind of look like Mr. Shu did every time the teacher fidgeted with his tie and gave Brittany a long lecture about living up to her potential. She hated those talks. Mr. Shu knew too many big words, and she still wasn't even sure she owned a potential. Luckily for her, though, Mr. Hummel wasn't wearing a tie, and he didn't really talk a lot. Instead, he coughed uncomfortably. You know if you're having problems at home, or, you know, guy trouble, he mumbled. You can always talk to Kurt and me about it, right? He nodded, her lips tight. Because I don't want you taking crap from anyone, okay? I haven't used a tire iron outside of the garage for a little while, but I guess I should get in some practice before Kurt turns 18 and starts dating dance club meatheads from Akron or something. Brittany only understood about half of that, but she could tell he was trying to be helpful, so she smiled prettily and patted him on the shoulder. Our tires are a little wrinkled, she admitted. I thought they were like that on purpose. But I'll tell Mom to bring the car here so you can iron them if you think it's a good idea. Mr. Hummel choked a little. Brittany shook her head. Guys would never admit when they were sick, at least not in front of anyone. Maybe if she went downstairs, he would take some medicine and go to bed. Waving goodbye to Mr. Hummel, Brittany almost made it to the stairs before remembering the other thing he had said. Oh, and don't worry about Kurt dating, she called back reassuringly. Santana says that he and his right hand will be in a loving, exclusive relationship until he's 35. Have you ever held his hand? It's really soft. When Brittany made it downstairs to Kurt's room, Kurt was stretched out on his bed, wearing pajamas and a face mask like the one her dentist wore. She'd never seen him with one before, and it didn't really match his outfit, so Brittany was a little puzzled as to why he was wearing it. Except, maybe Kurt was a dentist now? He'd be a great dentist. He was really smart, and his mouth was really clean. But no wonder he was sick. Between school, Glee, football, Cheerios, working and designing hats at his dad's garage, co-parenting Cracker the Duck, his secret job at the post office, and now his double secret job as a dentist? Kurt was definitely overworked. Kurt looked up, and even though Brittany couldn't see his mouth through the mask, she could tell by his eyes that he was trying to smile. Hi, Britt, he said in a muffled voice. He tapped the mask with a finger. Mercedes brought these over the last time I was sick so we could watch the ANTM marathon without her catching my flu. Before Brittany could answer, his baby blue eyes narrowed into little slits. Brittany, I don't want to be mean, so I'm going to say this as nicely as possible. Your hair is looking unusually trailer park today. What happened? Brittany stared at her socked feet, embarrassed. I kind of screwed up, she admitted, and Kurt's eyes widened. What happened? He asked again, and Brittany squirmed a little before taking a deep breath. I made you soup, but the bowl melted, and it started a fire, and I knocked over the pancake mix, and the smoke alarm went off, and it was loud, and when I dumped water on the fire to make it go out, it turned the pancake mix into pancake goop, and it took a long time to clean, and now I smell funny, and have pancake batter and melty bowl in my hair, and I don't have any soup to give you. I'm sorry. Kurt's cold was worse than Brittany had thought. His skin looked all pale and clammy, and he even looked like he was shaking a little. You made me soup, he said flatly. Brittany shrugged. I tried, she answered. Kurt nodded slowly. So I don't have to eat it, he reasoned. Brittany shook her head. Kurt put a baby soft hand to his sweaty cheek. Thank God, he muttered, before eyes smiling at Brittany. That you're okay, he finished. Thank God that you're okay, all things considered. Listen, since you're here and I'm no longer in danger of molestation or food poisoning, why don't you take a shower, and we can watch a movie or something? Brittany nodded happily. Kurt's bathroom was super fabulous and covered in beauty products, just like Kurt. It was one of her favorite places to hang out ever. Can I use the shampoo that smells like coconut? She asked hopefully. Kurt fixed his hair with one hand. Of course, he agreed. Bring the blow dryer out when you're done. There are some hair tips in my UK Harper's Bazaar that I want to test out on you. Brittany was about to race toward the bathroom when she remembered. Hold on, she paused. I have to give you your card. I made it for you since you liked the breakup card I made so much. Opening her purse, Brittany produced a glittery piece of pink construction paper. I didn't make your dad one yet, she admitted, so maybe you guys can share for now. Slowly, Kurt took the card from Brittany and read it out loud. Happy sick day, Kurt. Try not to operate heavy machinery and don't eat all of your medicine at the same time. Unless you want to wake up on the roof wearing cherry red pants. You can borrow mine if you do. Let me know if you want to play doctor. Super love, Brittany. Brittany patted Kurt's back as he coughed uncontrollably. It was really too bad about the soup. Her super gay not boyfriend was getting sicker by the minute. The end. Amenable Society by Your Fairy Godfather.
Hey, Brittany, we need to talk. Why are my leg warmers on your arms?
I got cold.
But no, we had a deal, okay? As I explained, I'm in the midst of a career resurgence, okay? I'm done with boys, and I'm concentrating fully on my career now. The only way to make a complete comeback is to dominate popular discussion, maybe launch a trend or two. I gave you half of my allowance so you could take a signature look of mine and make it popular.
And we decided that leg warmers are more likely to catch on than reindeer sweaters.
Yes, precisely, but it won't work if you insist on wearing them incorrectly.
I didn't realize that there were rules.
Of course there are rules. They're leg warmers.
Well, can I wear them that way tomorrow? I wore a tank top today because I thought it was summer. No one ever taught me how to read a calendar.
Fine. And when people ask you who gave you the inspiration for your new accessory, you're going to say, I'm just copying
Rachel Berry.
Fantastic.
Brittany was confused, like super mega confused, even more confused than the time Quinn had tried to explain that cow patties and hamburgers weren't the same thing. Also, she was kind of cold, probably because her hair was still wet from the shower, and the short towel wrapped around her body was pretty damp. Looking back and forth between her nearly empty closet and the enormous heap of clothing on the floor, Brittany sighed heavily. Being a fashion icon was so much pressure. Getting dressed was super easy when she was on the Cheerios. Throw on a uniform and maybe some underwear if she felt like it. On the weekends and weekdays after she quit the squad, clothing was more complicated. Still, she'd gotten most of her clothes while shopping with her mom or Santana or Kurt, people with good taste who understood that patterns were confusing. And except for that one incident where she came to school in mud-covered overalls, Principal Figgins had explained that Groundhog Day wasn't a dress-up holiday and that it had nothing to do with the ground or pigs. She had managed to do a pretty good job of dressing herself. The whole fashionista thing had started out simply. Rachel gave her some money and told her to buy clothes in that super dramatic wail that Santana claimed made her ears bleed. Brittany thought Rachel's clothes were kind of lame, but everyone else thought she looked awesome in them, so she was happy to keep copying her outfits. But Rachel had skipped school the day before in order to concentrate on writing a song for a glee club. Brittany understood that. She also had a hard time remembering what order the letters were supposed to go in when the teachers were distracting her by talking. But since Rachel hadn't been in class, Brittany hadn't been able to see what she was wearing, and now she had no idea how she was supposed to dress that day. It really wasn't a big deal since it was a Saturday, and Brittany didn't have to go to school, but she was pretty sure that Jacob Ben Israel was hiding in the bushes across the street, waiting to take her picture, and she couldn't call Santana or Puck to come beat him up until at least noon. Plus, even though it was just Jacob, Brittany had been a little scared of the paparazzi ever since she and Kurt had watched all of Lady Gaga's music videos at once. She wasn't entirely sure what the word meant, but she didn't want to have to walk with sticks attached to her elbows or wear glasses that looked like Mickey Mouse ears. That was it! She could call Kurt. He was super fashionable, and he always knew what to do. Plus, he was always talking about having to wear a uniform every day was squashing his artistic expression and creative potential in the formative years essential to his growth as a future member of the Chambre Syndicale de la Haute Couture. Brittany couldn't speak Spanish, but when Kurt said that, it usually meant that he wanted to do her makeup and play with her hair. Grabbing her phone off her desk and tightening her towel before it fell off, Brittany scrolled through her contact list. Santana had changed everyone's names in her phone book again, but she had a feeling Kurt was either Soprano Lady Man or gayer than Dumbledore at a San Francisco Pride Parade. Kurt wasn't old like Dumbledore, so she decided to try the first one first. And she was right. After a few rings, Kurt picked up. "Hello, Brittany," he said, yawning. "I'll ignore the obvious social faux pas of calling before 8:30 on a weekend, but only because I'm already awake." He yawned again. "Sort of. Is it an emergency? Are there pleather pants involved?" Brittany frowned, unsure. "No, well, I don't know," she admitted. "It might be an emergency. I'm naked, and I need you." Seriously, Kurt needed to start taking vitamins or go see her misogynist or something. Almost every time they were on the phone, he would spaz out and start coughing really hard at some point during their conversation. She really hoped it wasn't contagious, or that he was covering his mouth at least. She really didn't feel like getting sick, especially since Coach Sylvester had stopped injecting her with horse vitamins and hydroxycut to make her healthy. Brittany could hear some yelling and noise in the background, but no Kurt. Sitting down at the end of her bed, she waited patiently for him to not die. Finally, she heard a scuffling sound as someone picked up the phone. Hello? Brittany? Finn asked. Brittany blinked. "Hi, Finn," she replied a little surprised. "What are you doing over at Kurt's house?" Finn sounded super confused, like even more than usual. Kurt and I live together," he answered slowly. "Remember?" Brittany didn't remember. In fact, she was pretty sure nobody had ever told her that he and Kurt were dating. The last she knew of, which was a few days ago, Tuesday or Friday or something, Kurt was totally over his thing for Finn and was totally crushing on that singing guy at Gay Boy Hogwarts. Living with someone was a serious step, and Brittany would like to think that, as Kurt's somewhat gay not-girlfriend, she had a right to know these things. On the bright side, at least she knew who gayer than Dumbledore was in her phone now. Even if Finn was missing the magic wand and a big old man beard. Finn was still talking. So, do you know why Kurt just spilled grapefruit juice all over the floor and started choking? Brittany shrugged her shoulders, then remembered Finn couldn't see her. I don't know, she answered out loud. I was just calling to get him to pick out my clothes. She could hear Finn telling Kurt what she had said, and Kurt muttering something in the background. Britt? Finn was back. He says to just throw something on and he'll be over in 45 minutes. Oh, and hold on. Finn paused on the other end while Brittany fidgeted in her seat. He says not to really throw something on, Finn corrected, but to carefully put on some clothes, and please, for the love of Gucci, don't be naked when he gets there. And that if he can't get the steel oatmeal out of his new pants, you're buying him lattes for the rest of the month. Forty-five minutes later, Brittany had swapped her towel for her last remaining Cheerios uniform and was sitting on the floor, surrounded by all of her clothes. She felt really stupid. Getting dressed was something she did every day, and suddenly everyone else was making it so hard. Oh, sweet Giorgio Armani, what happened in here? Without Brittany noticing, Kurt had come in. As usual, his hair and clothes were perfect. The only signs that Brittany had interrupted his morning routine were his traveled coffee mug and a pair of sunglasses that she knew he only wore on days that he didn't have time to apply his anti-aging eye cream. Brittany was always secretly a little relieved when he wore those sunglasses. She had once gotten whipped cream in her eye, and it really hurt. She couldn't stand the thought of sweet baby Kurt creaming his eyes on purpose. Kurt whipped off his sunglasses and was looking around Brittany's room with his disapproving face. "Sweetie, this scarf is Anna Sui," he scolded, picking the strip of fabric up off the carpet. "What did we say about designer wear?" Brittany smiled. She knew this one. "No leaving it on the floor and don't try to wash anything myself," she recited. Kurt smiled back. "I knew you were listening." Putting his coffee down on the desk and taking off his coat, he settled himself on the bed and patted the spot on the mattress beside him. "Come here, boo," he commanded. And Brittany scampered up onto the bed. "Now, tell me what's going on," Kurt asked gently. "We are making so much progress in the fashion department. There was no paisley or animal prints or plastic earrings. What happened? And how did you manage to hold on to a Cheerios uniform? Coach Sylvester sent a team of professional thieves into my house to repossess mine before I finished filling out the transfer paperwork." Kicking her feet softly, Brittany explained the whole situation. Rachel and her really stupid plan. Her own struggle to read a calendar. Jacob's stalker Israel, and the phone call from Teen Vogue, and her trouble now that she had nobody to copy and everyone expected her to wear something fabulous. and that Santana had mentioned to Coach Sylvester that Brittany had spilled a container of buttered popcorn onto the skirt of the uniform while at the movies. Fearing that not even a team of the best Korean dry cleaners on the planet would be able to purge the offending excess of triglycerides from the fabric and keep them from infecting the next unsuspecting minion with pustules of unsightly back fat, Coach had let her keep the uniform. Kurt had the greatest smile. "Oh, my little tragic heroine," he said kindly, patting her shoulder. "We'll get you fixed up in no time." Brittany wrinkled her nose as Kurt stood up and started rifling through her clothes. "Are you trying to sell me drugs?" she asked, confused. Or maybe not. Maybe he wanted to buy some. He was pinching the bridge of his nose the same way Mr. Hummel did whenever he had a headache. Which was a lot, now that she thought of it. Kurt exhaled heavily. "Not that kind of heroin or fix," he explained patiently. He handed her a long-sleeved shirt and a pair of pants. "First of all, put these on," he ordered, turning to face the door to give her some privacy. He continued talking while Brittany found some underwear and got dressed. "Here's what we're going to do. First, we're going to spray all the bushes around your house with a garden hose until Jacob leaves. Then, after a quick stop at Starbucks for some much-needed caffeination, we're taking a mini road trip up to Cleveland for some shopping. It may be the mistake by the lake," he confided, "but the outlet malls are well worth it." Brittany grabbed her purse and followed Kurt out of her room, happily listening as he continued to talk and watching him gesture with his baby soft hands. "Then tomorrow, I'm coming over with a camera and we're going to take lots of pictures to tape around your mirror. Appropriate, cutting-edge outfits for every season. That way, all you have to do is pick a photo, copy the outfit, and accessorize a little." He opened the door for her. "Any questions?" Brittany thought about it. Locking the door behind them, she couldn't think of anything to ask about the plan. It was totally awesome. Kurt was the smartest person ever. Except maybe Santana. Maybe they could both be the smartest, but about different things. Which reminded her. "Will we be back by 5:30? She asked. "Santana and I are going to the movies to throw raisinettes at people from the back row." Kurt rolled his eyes. "That's charming," he said dryly. "And yes, we can get back by then. Why don't you call Santana and tell her that I'll drop you off at the theater?" Brittany nodded and pulled out her phone, scrolling until she found hottest of the hot and totally worth breaking up with white and nerdy for. But before she could press the send button, she remembered what she had meant to ask Kurt when he first came over. "Hey, Kurt, why doesn't Finn have a big gay beard?" Kurt waved a distracted hand as he started the car. "He used to. But he and Rachel broke up ages ago. Skim or soy in your latte?" Dazed and Confused by Your Fairy Godfather.
You here looking for parts?
No, actually. I wanted to talk to you about Kurt.
Is he okay?
Have you ever talked to him about sex?
Are you gay or straight or what?
I'm definitely gay.
Okay, good. I mean, you know, whatever, but good for Kurt. He needs someone like you to talk to.
Well, that's kind of my point. I've tried talking to him, but he basically puts his fingers in his ears and starts singing.
Well, when he's ready, he'll listen.
I don't have the relationship with my dad that you have with Kurt. I think it would be really cool if you took advantage of that. I'm sorry if I'm overstepping.
You are.
Blaine was not nervous, not even a little bit, totally, unnervously nerve-free. Nervousness was for amateurs or adorable boyfriends. Blaine was not an amateur, and he was not adorable. He was charming. He was dapper. He carried a pocket watch, for crying out loud. He was simply not the kind of person who would get nervous about having dinner with his boyfriend's family for the first time. A family that included a 6.5-foot-tall football player and a muscular, overprotective father with a flamethrower, whom Blaine may have inadvertently offended by coming to his shop and asking him to talk to his precious only child about gay sex. A drop of sweat was gathering at his hairline, and he swiped at it quickly before it could do any damage. His shirt cuff smelled heavily of cologne. Oh God, he was wearing too much cologne, like really too much cologne. He couldn't even smell the flowers he picked up at the florist for Kurt's stepmother, and they were sitting 3 feet away on the passenger seat. And they were stargazer lilies. People could smell lilies from across the football field. Their fragrance was so strong. Crap. What if Kurt's stepmother was allergic to flowers or pollen? Or what if they had a cat? Kurt would totally own a finicky cat that would hate him on sight. The kind that would purposely chew on the petals and die just to prove a point. The point clearly being, I'm a cat and I don't like you. How do you think the humans with a vested interest in their son's innocence are going to feel? This was not going well, and he hadn't even gotten out of the car yet. And maybe it was best he didn't get out of the car, because if he did get out of the car, he'd have to walk up to the house and ring the doorbell, and then Kurt's stepmother would answer the door and invite him in, and he'd say something completely stupid like, "Hi, I'm Dapper and Charming, and here are some flowers. I hope you have lots of Benadryl." And Kurt's stepmother would say, "Oh, that's okay. The stink of your heavily applied cologne is overpowering the scent of the flowers that I'm clearly deathly allergic to, boy who's molesting my stepson." And he would be all, "But it's totally consensual molesting this time. And I just remembered that Kurt didn't tell you about the time your son's teammate assaulted him in the locker room. So you're probably thinking I'm talking about me molesting people without their consent. And it's probably not helping my case that your cat is having seizures because I brought lilies. And this is a long and increasingly mortifying sentence. Would you like to see my pocket watch?" Okay. So, maybe it was possible that he was slightly nervous. In his defense, it was all Wes's fault. Wes and his stupid advice. Blaine was all set to meet Kurt's family, and yes, he technically met them already, but he couldn't exactly make polite, charming conversation at a football game, and his last interaction with Kurt's dad had definitely dropped him down a notch or two. When Wes had come by to give him a pep talk, and he was so serious and earnest, going on about the wisdom of his experience. And the problem was that Wes's sense of humor was so incredibly dry that there was realistically about a 45% chance that this was some elaborate joke he and David had cooked up, which left a 55% chance that Wes was seriously trying to be helpful with his hour-long recitation of do's and don'ts, and "for the love of God, don't you dares," and that he wasn't kidding when he finished his lecture by clapping Blaine on the shoulder and assuring him that Kurt doesn't seem like the type to break up with someone over one rough family dinner. And if it goes badly, you can always call one of us to come and drive you home. Blaine really didn't like those odds. Lost in his thoughts and internally cursing his possibly well-meaning, possibly soon-to-be-dead friend, Blaine barely had time to process the shadow that had skimmed over the dashboard before someone was knocking on the side of his car. Jumping slightly, he took off his sunglasses and looked out the window, expecting to see Kurt looking adorably impatient. The girl standing next to the car was definitely not Kurt. She did, however, look vaguely familiar, and it wasn't too long before Blaine recognized her as the pretty blonde dancer from the McKinley Glee Club. It started with a B, not Brianna, Brittany. Her name was definitely Brittany. She was smiling expectantly at Blaine, and he realized that she was probably waiting for him to roll down the window and talk to her, which probably wasn't a bad idea. She was clearly friends with Kurt and might be able to help with the whole flower fiasco. Blaine held down the tab that controlled the power window and smiled back. "Do you need some help?" Brittany asked him kindly once the window was open, making Blaine's grin falter slightly. Crap, the slight nerves that he might possibly be experiencing really were showing. "I need so much help," he admitted ruefully. "Is it that obvious?" He hoped it wasn't that obvious. Panic wasn't a good look for him. "No, really." David had taken a video on his phone of Blaine rushing around the morning of their math midterm, the one he had inconveniently forgotten to study for. It was possibly the least attractive he'd ever looked. "It's okay," Brittany was saying. "I do the same thing all the time. Push the red button." Push the... Okay, he had no idea what she was talking about. She seemed to recognize this because she patted his shoulder patiently before reaching inside the car and unbuckling Blaine's seatbelt for him. "You looked like you were having trouble getting out of the car," she explained. "The red button makes the seatbelt unlock." Wow. Wes had nothing on this girl. Her deadpan was amazing. Blaine had no idea how she was keeping a straight face. He played along. "Thanks. My hand-eye coordination tends to fail when my life is in danger," he joked sheepishly, climbing out of the car and straightening his tie. And maybe his self-esteem had crumbled to pieces in the last 3 minutes. But this he knew, he looked good in a tie. Brittany's eyes widened. "Oh no," she gasped. "Is it your heart?" Blaine sighed heavily. "Not yet," he reassured her, "but we'll have to see how the evening goes." She looked a little confused. Which, yeah, that was a little dramatic and cryptic. This is the first time I'm meeting Kurt's family as his boyfriend, he explained, and I'd really like not to screw it up. Speaking of which, Blaine hastily reached into the car and grabbed the flowers. How do these smell? Too much? He asked, unpleasantly aware of the slight desperation in his voice. Kurt doesn't have a cat, does he? Just a duck, but he sleeps outside, Brittany answered dryly. Okay, he was totally introducing this girl to Wes, and leaned in to sniff the flowers. They smell like men's perfume, she decided. Blaine dropped his head theatrically. It's okay, she said reassuringly. Kurt likes men, and he wears my perfume all the time. Glossing over the pink elephant in that sentence, Blaine shook his head. No, it's not that, it's just I got these for Kurt's stepmother, and I... Blaine frowned, realizing he had an even bigger problem than his overzealous fragrance application. What do I call her? He asked Brittany, who looked up at him blankly. Kurt's stepmother, he clarified. Is she still Mrs. Hudson, or is she Mrs. Hummel now? Or is there a hyphen? Why don't I know this? Poor Brittany looked bombarded by his increasingly alarmed line of questioning. This was still not going well. Blaine took a deep breath and attempted to smile charmingly. I'm so sorry, he apologized. I have no idea what just happened. Brittany smiled at him understandingly. That happens to Kurt sometimes, she confided. Usually Mercedes slaps the back of his head, and then he complains about her messing up his hair, and hell, he feels better, and so everything goes back to normal. She eyed his head. I could slap you if you want, she offered helpfully. Blaine laughed nervously. No thanks, he told her, backing up a fraction of an inch. So he cast around for a subject change. I'm here for dinner, and will hopefully live to tell about it. How about you? Brittany frowned. Spanish homework, she explained sadly. Usually Santana helps me, but she's mad at me right now. Finn's the only one who will be my partner, but he kind of sucks at Spanish, and he just doesn't get our system. Blaine nodded sympathetically. It's hard studying with someone new once you've got your routine down, he agreed, thinking of the previous year. He'd gone through 3 different lab partners in science, and each time he'd been forced to readjust his study habits, which took up a lot of time he could have been using to do anything but study. Totally, Brittany replied, shaking her head. And he keeps asking the same questions over and over. Why aren't you writing anything down? What does making out have to do with the assignments? She rolled her eyes. We never get anything done, she confided. Maybe he wouldn't introduce her to Wes. Feeling 2 steps behind was starting to get a little unnerving. I'm not sure that kissing and Spanish ability are related, he pointed out slowly. Brittany frowned, thinking, that's just how I do it with Santana, but I guess you're right, she conceded, because Kurt's a way better kisser than Finn, and he's, like, fluid in French. Fluent, Blaine corrected automatically. Wait, hold on. Because Kurt's a way better... You? And Kurt? You and Kurt were... I'm sorry, I can't even finish. When did you and Kurt kiss? Blaine asked, now longing painfully for the comparatively low level of desperation he'd been at mere minutes before. Brittany, for her part, looked completely unconcerned that Blaine was having a stroke right in front of her, and started twirling a strand of hair distractedly around her finger. We made out last year when we were dating. He's a really great boyfriend. Blaine's vision began to swim a little. Oh, yeah, breathing, right. Brittany was still playing with her hair. Hey, she asked suddenly. What does that make us? Blaine, still recovering from his 30 seconds without oxygen, just looked at her. Well, she continued, Kurt and I dated, and now he's my super gay not boyfriend. And he totally had a thing for Finn, and now they're brothers. And Finn and I are Spanish partners. And now you're Kurt's boyfriend, and I don't know what to call you. Blaine leaned back against his car, not caring that he was probably getting dirt on his pants. You can call me confused, he answered weakly. I feel like I missed something. Or a lot of somethings. Brittany smiled brightly. That's good. Confused is totally Kurt's type. Hey, do you have a burglar alarm? It seemed really important to Mr. Hummel at the time. Before Blaine could even begin to formulate a potential answer to that, Brittany's phone buzzed in her pocket. Swiftly pulling it out and opening it, she read and replied to the text message. And Blaine couldn't read upside down that well, but it was definitely from someone named Cyborg Robot Boy. Brittany slid the phone back into her pocket. Have fun at dinner. I have to go make out with Artie now, she said bluntly. Blaine raised a tired eyebrow. engineering homework? He guessed half-heartedly. He really wasn't expecting the dirty look she shot him. You know, it's not very nice of you to make fun of my boyfriend like that, she pointed out. It's not his fault his legs don't work and he'll never drive a train. Blaine would never understand women, ever. Thank God he was gay. You're right, he apologized. I'm so sorry. I don't know what came over me. Brittany's nasty look immediately vanished. It's okay. Tell everyone I said hi. And without looking back, she walked away, leaving Blaine standing in the driveway with his flowers, which is where Kurt's stepmother found him 5 minutes later. Blaine, she called out from the door. Sweetie, are you coming in? Blaine looked back and forth between her and the street helplessly. Brittany says hi, he finally finished lamely. Fortunately, that was all it took. I should have known, she said wryly. Brittany can have that effect on people when they first meet her. Or 10 years later, in some cases. Coming down the walkway, she gently took Blaine's arm and led him to the door. The poor thing has always been a little unique, she explained. But ever since that incident in the sewers this summer. She trailed off, shaking her head, as they reached the house. You can call me Carol, by the way, she offered. Kurt's upstairs finishing his face. He's so excited that you're here for dinner. Glancing up the stairs, she leaned in conspiratorially. Don't tell him that I told you on both counts. Blaine smiled, straightening his tie. Carol smiled back. Come into the kitchen. I'll get you something to drink, and we can put those flowers in water. They're beautiful, by the way. Lilies are my favorite. Blaine felt the charming dapperness start to slowly trickle back. I'm so glad you like them, he replied, feeling more at ease than he had all afternoon. It didn't even occur to me that you might have a cat until I got here. Carol waited for Blaine as he slipped off his shoes. Finn's allergic, I'm afraid, she explained. And you just know how Kurt would be if we had a pet that shed all over his clothes. Before you answer that, Blaine, keep in mind that I can hear you talking about me. Blaine burst out laughing as he looked up the stairs. Brittany might be unique, but Kurt was something else entirely. Trying unsuccessfully to wipe the glazed expression off of his face, Blaine turned back to Carol, who gave him a knowing smile. Go ahead, she told him. Dinner won't be ready for another 20 minutes or so. Kissing her hand and passing her the flowers, Blaine felt his smile grow as he climbed the stairs. Huh. This must be what love felt like. Awesome. Grinning, Blaine almost missed Carol calling up to him. Do us a favor, Blaine, and don't tell Bert about meeting Brittany. Blaine's confusion must have shown, because she explained further. He'll be so disappointed if you're already traumatized when dinner starts. He was looking forward to doing it himself. For the second time in 10 minutes, a somewhat disturbed Blaine was left standing while the woman walked away from him. And maybe he was charming and dapper and totally not nervous. But if a flamethrower came out at any point in the evening, he was ditching the pocket watch and hiding under Kurt's bed until Wes came to get him. Flushed and Disoriented by Your Fairy Godfather.
Are you okay? You kept making those weird faces the whole song.
Those weren't weird faces. Those were my sexy faces.
It just looked like you were having gas pains or something.
Great. How are we supposed to get up on the stage at regionals and sell sexy to the judges when I have as much sexual appeal and knowledge as a baby penguin?
Oh. Okay, yeah. Yeah, that felt really, really good, actually. That time Blaine had maybe sort of implied that Kurt wasn't exactly sexy. Clearly had been drunk that day. Possibly high off the fumes from the foam cannons. Maybe even concussed. He did do an awful lot of leaping off of furniture, after all. And having such thick hair meant that he occasionally didn't notice when he whacked his head. Because anyone who could pull off a Likes Boy t-shirt and swirl their tongue on his neck like Kurt was doing? Holy shit. That was sexy. Blaine's hands were tangled in Kurt's knitted cardigan, and he would bet anything that was made for a woman, which was strangely not a disturbing thought at all, pulling him closer as Kurt skimmed his own hands up Blaine's sides before wrapping them around his shoulder blades. He slid closer, settling himself in Blaine's lap and effectively pinning his hips to the bed. And God, that was hot. Why couldn't he have had a moment months ago? They could have been doing this all along, and he was totally stealing Kurt's cologne and making his boyfriend, take him shopping for sheets because these ones were totally awesome and smelled perfect. But maybe he should wait and bring that up sometime when Kurt wasn't undoing the buttons on Blaine's shirt. Best day ever, and... Kurt's phone buzzed on the nightstand. Kurt's fingers paused halfway down Blaine's chest. Blaine sighed, letting his head drop back on Kurt's pillow with a thunk. Stupid cock-blocking phone. Kurt looked at him, definitely at least somewhat amused. Trust me, you want me to check that, he told Blaine dryly. Finn's helping out in the shop today, moving tire stacks, and I asked him to text when he and Dad were leaving so I would know when to start dinner. Blaine raised an eyebrow. And by start dinner, you mean? Dab some concealer on my neck and remake the bed, yes, Kurt finished for him, reaching over Blaine for his phone. Not that Finn knows that, of course. He's unnervingly excited that I finally cracked and agreed to make them hamburgers. You'd think it was Christmas morning, or... Caught up in the mental image of enormously tall Finn unwrapping hamburgers underneath a Christmas tree, in his imagination there was gleeful dancing and celebratory confetti, Blaine didn't immediately notice Kurt trailing off mid-sentence. He did, however, notice the way the blood drained rapidly from Kurt's face as he stared in shock at his phone. Before he could even fully process what he was seeing, Blaine was sitting up and gripping Kurt by the shoulders. "Kurt?" he asked gently, ducking his head in an attempt to meet Kurt's eyes. When Kurt didn't react, he tried again more insistently. "Kurt, what is it?" he demanded, shaking his boyfriend gently. The screen on the phone had gone dark, Kurt's painfully tight grasp blocking the keyboard. Blaine frowned. What could possibly... A horrible thought dawned on him. Did something happen to your dad? Without waiting for an answer, Blaine scrambled off the bed, snatching his car keys off the nightstand. "It's okay. It's going to be okay," he promised hurriedly, jamming his feet back into his socks and grabbing his tie off the floor. Because a tie was really important in emergency situations. "Right." He dropped the tie and began searching for his shoes instead. Kurt was looking at him, mouth slightly open with surprise. Blaine rushed to reassure him. "I'll drive," he insisted, "wherever you need to go. Do we need to call anyone? Carol? Mercedes?" Blaine could feel himself start to get slightly worked up and knew that he needed to calm the hell down, but he couldn't help it. If anything happened to Bert, Kurt would be devastated. And yeah, maybe it was an open secret that Bert would happily mount Blaine's fuzzy head on the wall at the first signal from Kurt, but that didn't mean Blaine didn't like him. You know, underneath all those layers of pants-wetting terror. Damn it, where the hell was his coat? Blaine! Blaine's decidedly undapper thought train came to a screeching halt as he realized that Kurt had been trying to get his attention for several seconds. Looking up from his half-crouched position in the middle of the room, he'd been trying to button his shirt and pull on his left shoe simultaneously, and it had not been going well. It occurred to him that while Kurt looked pale and slightly shaken, he didn't look particularly traumatized. Nothing like how he would have looked if Bert had had another heart attack. Kurt confirmed it. "It's not my dad," he said breathlessly. And Blaine felt a mixture of relief and embarrassment wash over him. If Kurt noticed, he was kind enough not to mention it. Instead, he bit his lip worriedly. "It is kind of an emergency, though," he continued. "So if you could break a couple dozen traffic laws and get me to Brittany's house in less than 5 minutes, I would really appreciate it." Two and a half minutes later, Blaine was speeding down the road, keeping an eye out for police cars and or small children, while Kurt sat ramrod straight in the passenger seat, simultaneously fixing his hair and feverishly pressing buttons on his phone. Blaine knew better than to interrupt when Kurt was in a mood. Kurt almost never actually swore, but an irritated hiss involving more than three designers was a clear indication that they were riding into the danger zone. But he couldn't help himself when Kurt started whacking his forehead repeatedly on the window in frustration. "Kurt! Kurt, stop! You're going to hurt yourself!" Kurt dutifully obeyed, but kept his temple pressed to the window. "She's not answering," he complained, voice dull with what Blaine could only assume was worry. "Why don't you leave her a message?" he suggested. Kurt shot him a look of pure exasperation, an expression his boyfriend had probably perfected by the age of 5. "Ha! Boyfriend! Seriously, that was never going to get old." "Because," Kurt responded slowly, using a delicate tone that Blaine recognized as Kurt's. I cannot believe I have to explain this, but I'll try not to hurt your feelings. Thin voice. Brittany is somewhat unreliable about checking her messages, or understanding the concept of voicemail, really. She caught pneumonia last fall after sitting in front of her mailbox for 6 hours in the rain, waiting for it to start talking. He shook his head, sighing. She also has a tendency to skate through life relatively unscathed, despite an astounding lack of common sense or any instincts at all regarding self-preservation. Probably because the rest of us recognize this and tend to overcompensate for her. But she's alienated Santana somehow, which means her biggest protector is gone, and now that she's off the Cheerios, Coach Sylvester no longer has a personal investment in keeping her from any grievous bodily harm. He closed his eyes, lightly massaging his temples. He was still a little too pale for Blaine's liking. So you see why, Kurt continued, when I get a text inviting me over to burn unfashionable clothing with her and then she stops answering the phone, my first instincts are to A, panic, and B, cling to the fraying threads of my sanity, hoping that you can drive faster than she can figure out the safety latch on the barbecue lighter. Wow, yeah, well, when he put it like that, Blaine pressed a little harder on the gas pedal. Should we be calling the fire department or something, he wondered out loud. Kurt sighed again. Lima is a small town, he explained. Enough false alarms from the same house. He trailed off. Blaine got the point. Better make sure it's an emergency first. Kurt nodded. Take a left up here. With Kurt navigating, and Blaine driving as fast as he could without running any red lights or wrapping the car around a tree, they managed to make Brittany's house in under 10 minutes. Blaine frowned at the slightly smoking tires as he stepped out of the car, but was relieved to see that they seemed to be the only things that were smoking. The little yellow house Kurt had directed them to was still standing, with no visible flames or obvious signs of destruction. He gripped Kurt's hand tightly as Kurt pounded on the door. The first time Blaine had ever really spoken to Brittany, his first impression was of someone with an amazingly dry, deadpan sense of humor. When he had slowly realized over the course of the conversation that not only did she mean everything she was saying, but that she was in fact Kurt's ex-girlfriend. Become highly alarmed was probably too polite a euphemism for the braingasm Blaine had undergone. A less charitable person might have gone with, panicked like a little girl. Whatever. He never liked David anyway. In any case, as he and Kurt waited on the front steps, the sound of quick footsteps inside the house growing louder, Blaine knew better than to rely on any preconceived notions as to what could possibly happen next. Brittany was Brittany, and there was just no explaining or predicting how her mind worked. Still, staring in shock seemed like the most appropriate response when Brittany threw open the door wearing a glittery happy birthday party hat and clutching a duck under her arm. Someday, when they had graduated college and had christened every room in their house with all sorts of crazy, sweaty, kinky sex, and had gotten the European travel out of the way, and Kurt was a household name in fashion, and the international tour for Blaine's second record-breaking album had wrapped, Kurt's name was definitely the one they were putting down on their kids in case of emergency forms at school. Because, while Blaine stood there, mentally flailing in an undignified manner that would have gotten him hit in the head with a gavel if Wes had seen it, Kurt proceeded to pocket his phone, pull Blaine inside the house, close the door, ease the duck out of Brittany's slightly too tight grip, and relocate them all to the kitchen, all without looking the least bit surprised or concerned. The duck looked at Blaine and quacked. Yeah, they were totally putting Kurt in charge. Blaine must have looked as confused as he felt, because Kurt squeezed his shoulder and sat him down at the kitchen table, like he was a little kid in a room full of breakable objects. Which wasn't entirely inaccurate. The kitchen counters were covered with glass tumblers, all of them half-filled with coffee or fruit smoothies. A mirror was propped up against the refrigerator with a basket of cosmetics and hair products resting on the floor beside it. There was a chocolate cake on the table Blaine was at, with several pieces already sliced and sitting on plates. And over the window, strung up like a banner, was a fuzzy welcome mat, presumably from the front porch. Brittany was standing proudly in front of a pile of clothing, holding a book of matches from breadsticks that Kurt immediately confiscated. Britt, he asked carefully, what is all of this? And why are you wearing a birthday hat? Brittany's smile grew even brighter. It's your surprise welcome back party, she explained. pointing to the welcome mat. They didn't have any hats for that at the store, but I know you like glittery things. She handed Kurt and Blaine matching sparkly hats. Blaine gamely put his on and tried not to smirk at Kurt's obvious discomfort as his boyfriend settled the cardboard on his carefully coiffed head. Apparently he failed, or maybe Kurt was just psychic, because Blaine received a suspicious scowl anyways. Turning back to Brittany, Kurt smiled painfully and gestured around the room with a manicured hand. Did you do all of this yourself? He asked, and Brittany nodded. When you and Santana made my surprise party, you had all of my favorite things, she explained. So I tried to get yours, except cars. I asked your dad if I could borrow one, but he started choking on his coffee, and Finn's mom told me I should come back later. She shrugged, as if this wasn't anything new. Kurt nodded slowly. I see. And did you tell the others about this? He asked. Brittany shook her head. If I told them, it wouldn't be a surprise, she admonished. Well, I told Cracker, she corrected, because fat ducks are one of your favorite things, so I had to bring him too. Cracker quacked and sat on Blaine's foot. Blaine had no idea what to say to that. Meanwhile, Kurt was looking down at the pile of clothes. Brittany, he said suddenly, did you steal everyone's sweaters after Glee today? He sank down to the floor and began picking through the clothing. Some of the pieces could conceivably have belonged to Brittany, but many of them were obviously from the men's department, and one Blaine definitely recognized as Finn's. Brittany looked confused, well, more confused than normal. To burn, she clarified. You need an activity at a party, and you're always saying how you want to set everyone's wardrobe on fire and start over. She bit her lip. Did you mean wardrobe like the furniture? Because I just have a closet. Kurt was turning slightly pink, and Blaine could tell he was trying not to laugh. Ooh, you can't just take people's clothing and set it on fire, unless it has technicolor animal print or involves seersucker in a non-ironic fashion, he told her kindly, gesturing for her to join him on the floor. We need to give these back. Brittany sat down, and the two of them began separating the shirts and sweaters into piles. Blaine watched them fondly for a moment before looking around the kitchen again. Coffee, fruit smoothies, hairspray, glitter. It was like an insane homage to Kurt's baser instincts. And there was cake. Just as Blaine was about to pick up a fork, Kurt let out a girlish shriek and grabbed his wrist. Blaine, don't, he warned, looking between Blaine and the cake with obvious distaste. Blaine pouted dramatically. Yeah, so it probably wasn't organic, but it was cake. More than that, it was cake made specifically for them. Social etiquette practically mandated that he eat it. Really, he didn't have a choice. Plus, cake. Meanwhile, Kurt was clearly doing some quick thinking. Blaine, we should tell her, he said slowly. I know you're embarrassed about it, but Brittany's a really good secret keeper. Right, Britt? Brittany nodded happily, missing both Blaine's questioning look and Kurt's response, an expression that unmistakably read, contradict me and die, possibly via tire iron. Blaine made a mental note to have a will drawn up sometime in the immediate future. Apparently satisfied that Blaine had gotten the message, Kurt took both of Brittany's hands in his. Blaine has a very serious medical condition, he explained in an unnaturally solemn tone. It's an extremely rare allergy to teenage germs. They make him horribly sick, even in small amounts. So among other things, he's not allowed to eat anything that wasn't prepared by an adult, because he'd probably die. Okay, what? His adorable boyfriend was insane. That was the only explanation. It had been made clear to him by several of Kurt's friends that Brittany most likely wasn't joining the Ivy Leagues anytime soon, but there was no way on earth she could possibly believe that story. Brittany glanced over at him uneasily. Is that why he's always wearing his dad's suit? She whispered to Kurt, gesturing discreetly at Blaine's Dalton uniform. It took every ounce of self-control Blaine possessed to keep his jaw from dropping. Kurt nodded back. Exactly. When he wore normal clothes and ate some cookies at Rachel's party, he spent half the night throwing up in my bathroom. Blaine winced at that one. His memories of that night were somewhat hazy, but he distinctly recalled clutching the side of the toilet as Kurt rubbed his back, encouraging him to get all the girl cooties out of your system before they hit your bloodstream. Yeah, he was never getting drunk again. Ever. for at least another month or two. Brittany looked nervous. Is it contagious? She asked Kurt, tugging on a strand of hair. I threw up on Rachel in front of the whole school that week. Kurt smiled beatifically. No, baby, it's not contagious, he said reassuringly. But please feel free to tell that whole story again in exquisite detail. You know I never get tired of hearing it. Brittany still looked a little concerned. I didn't mean to kill your boyfriend, she promised earnestly. But can he eat it if my mom made the cake and I just stirred? I wore gloves. She pointed to a pair of fuzzy purple mittens that were resting by the sink. And he can borrow my sister's inhaler just in case. Kurt considered it. So your mom made almost all of it, he confirmed, and Brittany nodded. I suppose that would be all right then, he agreed, and Blaine dug into the cake. It was kind of awesome. Here's what we're going to do, Kurt said authoritatively, which was totally hot, incidentally, as he stood up and dusted off his pants. Britt, start calling everyone and tell them to meet us at Breadsticks. We'll move the party there and we can give everyone their clothes back. He smiled beautifully at her and she smiled back before taking the phone he was holding out to her. Once she had gotten hold of Artie, and Kurt and Blaine had listened in long enough to be sure she was giving him the right information, Kurt turned back to Blaine. Could you help me pack up the cake? He asked, giving him a tired smile. Blaine quickly finished the slice he was eating and started gently sliding the other pieces back into the pan. Will they mind that we're bringing in our own dessert? He asked curiously. And Kurt shrugged. Not if we have Santana, he answered. They're a little afraid of her there. Besides, he added, if they don't let us bring it in, we'll take it home and you can eat it. He reached up, wiping a smudge of frosting off of Blaine's mouth. Blaine caught Kurt's hand and kissed his fingers. You don't want to share? He asked, raising an eyebrow suggestively. Kurt smiled, shaking his head. Straight to my hips, he reminded Blaine, then kissed him hard. Tastes better that way, anyway, he explained with a smile. Yeah, Blaine's boyfriend? Totally sexy. Kurt? Brittany called from the hall. Finn wants to talk to you, and he keeps asking about hamburgers. Blaine's head landed on Kurt's shoulder with a thunk. Stupid cock-blocking phone. The end. This is the end of the Mostly Gay, Not Couple verse by Your Fairy Godfather. You can find the Mostly Gay, Not Couple verse stories at fanfiction.net under Your Fairy Godfather, and apparently they're also being moved over to AO3, also under Your Fairy Godfather.